My name's Joe Inser. I'm filling in for Pastor today, and I really appreciate this opportunity to do this because it's a chance for me to really grow and get me outside of my comfort zone and I'm grateful. I really am to have this opportunity. Well, today I'm going to be speaking in the book of James, primarily the lesson title, the heading that it gives us, at least my Bible gives us, is Listening and Doing. It's James 1, 19, and we'll be covering just through 21. It gives three main commands that we should be quick to listen, which is to know God's Word and God's will, slow to speak. Pastor talked a little bit about this last week in Colossians and Corinthians just before what Scott read for communions covers the divisiveness and arguments that were in the church. And there's other examples as well, but slow to speak speaks volumes. Slow to anger is the third command that this gives. Our selfish anger does not produce the righteousness of God's desire. And that's what we'll be covering. I'd like to take this opportunity to pray. Lord, just thank you for a absolutely beautiful day out, a beautiful morning. It's so nice to be able to gather together with our Christian friends and family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we just are so grateful to be together and to connect with one another and support each other. And I just pray that you'll be with us this morning as I try to convey this message the best that I know how. And Lord, I pray that I represent you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, James, a little bit on James is just the oldest, from what we can tell, he's the oldest half-brother of Jesus. This would not be the James brother of John. We've also cut researches that they've figured out it's probably the first book of the New Testament that was written. It was written to the believers that were scattered after what's covered in Acts 8, after the stoning of Stephen. The believers really scattered throughout the region there. And James was writing this to them. James 1:1, I found it interesting that it starts the book off, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And we see there right away, James just addresses straight away that it's to the 12 tribes that are scattered. And then he gets right into the substance of what he wants to talk about and what he wants to address with those that have scattered through trials and tribulations. He gets right to the point, and then later on in that chapter, takes us to where I would like to be. It's the listening and doing aspect of what he wants Christ's believers to address. If we read in James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Matthew quotes something on this, and I'll flip to that quick, but you don't necessarily have to follow me there. But Matthew 16 and Matthew 13, 16 and 17, blessed are are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. I think so many times Christians go through the motions. They attend church on Sundays or be immersed in activities through the church. And while these are good and absolutely necessary for our growth, they do not on their own promote growth in itself. We must grow spiritually with the walk of Christ while being active in church. When it, kind of reflecting on the quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, it kind of brought up memories of an example of this is back, you know, years ago when we I played baseball. And those are three aspects that are essential when you're playing a game. As a player, you have fans that are shouting, yelling, and usually to encourage you, not always. But they do what they can to better your play. They want to encourage you. They want you to avoid bad situations. Some fans are louder than others. But I was always just blown away that once the game starts and you're in the act of playing, you tuned all that out. I couldn't hear the fans. It was just amazing how focused you can become. The only voices I could hear were that of my coaches, and once in a great while, my dad, my father, and his instruction. And you had to be silent. You had to listen to what your instructions were. The play that was, you know, about to happen depended on you taking instruction. The play has to be and must be commanded in a timely manner. It must play out in a timely manner. So you don't have really time for your anger to get in the way if you're frustrated with what had previously happened, or you can't be fearful of what may happen. You have to take the instruction. You have to listen and not be speaking over your coach. You have to listen to what those instructions are, and you have to control your actions to execute the play accurately. As we read there in 19, my dear brothers and sisters, we take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Again, those are the three commands we see that must be followed. They take in God's word and His instruction. I just want to call it an old adage. Is the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth so that we were quick to listen and pay attention, you know, more attention to that, and slow to speak. I find it hard to listen at times if I'm talking over the person who's talking to me. I'm often thinking of what to say. I'm giving my opinion on the matter, and not always am I fully understanding what they're trying to convey to me. The same goes with God's instruction to us throughout His Word. If we don't take the time to listen to God's instruction, to be in His Word, to reading through His Word, it's really hard to apply it, to take that instruction and apply it to our lives. Another example that isn't personal to me, it's one I read in the book Happy, Happy, Happy. It's Phil Robinson. A lot of you may be familiar with him. But I read that book, and it was a really encouraging book. It deals with a wide variety, wide range from where his life was to where his life became. And within that book, he's talked of a time where he was a commercial fisherman on the river he lived on, and he would be so angry because people would steal the fish from his nets, and that's what he fed his family with. That's what he sold to supply the needs for his family. And he would just get so angry and worked up and just want them to have to answer for the sins they're committing. Then he became a Christian, and he's the type of Christian that just immerses himself in the Bible. I mean, he studies it, and he said, well, Lord, I'm not quoting him, but he basically said that, well, Lord, if you're who you say you are and your word's truth, then I'm going to follow it. And it says here in the Bible that that we are to love our enemies. So the next time he went out on the river, one of the times going out on the river, he actually caught the men that were stealing the nets, that were pulling up his nets. And he came barreling up in his boat, just like he always had. And they were expecting this angry guy to yell at him. And instead he pulls alongside, helps them pull the net up, and he gives them the fish. And this is how he dealt with what he had read. He took it literally. He applied it. He listened to what the Lord had said. He had taken the time to adhere what he was saying, what the God's word was saying. He wasn't, so to speak, talking over it, giving his own input and what he thought was right. And then he calmed his anger. He had been very angry at them people. And what in that story, the outcome was they quit stealing his fish. They no longer felt like they could just take his fish, the angry guy who cares what he thinks. Now this guy cared. Cared in their lives to give them the fish for some possible party they were throwing or whatever gathering they were having is why they needed the fish. And through these steps, he started representing the righteousness that God desires and that he desires for our lives. With attention to slow to anger, I read on verse 20 there, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Proverbs 15:18 says this, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. So often, we get in our own way. Through anger, we can push people, we can push each other or ourselves to get our way. Not always does it work. Not always is the outcome what you want, even if you did in the moment get your way. But it definitely does not produce the results that God wants. It doesn't represent God's will in that. Patience and understanding allows us to make solid decisions. Based on God's word, it gives us direction and instruction. For how are we to best represent Him with our lives and in how we live if we don't act on that? If we read on in 21, verse 21 of chapter 1, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. I reflect back to what Matthew said in 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of God the Father who is in heaven. Some of the applications I took from these three verses, and I just wanted to cover these three. I was tempted to go on, but I found it a little overwhelming trying to get all that sorted out, so I focused on these three. And some of the applications and takeaways is, one, we must spend time in God's Word and listening to His instruction. We must speak with intentions that are honorable to God's will for our lives and think before we speak. Another is God is slow to anger to us. In regards to Him judging our sin, He has the right to do that. We've forfeited the right through our sin. And I just ask that we respond by being slow to anger on His behalf when we represent Him in the way we live our lives. And go through that notion that it says there where, therefore get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. That's such a task and such an overwhelming task at times for us, but we really must strive to get rid of the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent in our lives. And each one of us falls into that category. And that's what he asks us to do. As believers in Christ, we are to accept God's word as truth. It's what he's revealed to us as truth, and it's how he speaks to us. And the message that trusting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior will assure you a place in heaven to be in God's presence for an eternity. And that's really what I wanted to convey to you today. I know that's a short message, but I'd rather it be short and cover it well, at least how I felt about it, than to try to make it last longer and get lost with what the Lord's trying to say through me. So I'll pray. Lord, thank you for this time this morning. I hope that this was an impactful message and that and that it was received well, Lord. We love you a great deal. We want to honor you with our words and with our actions. So often, myself included, we get so busy in our lives and so distracted with those things going on around us that we don't give the attention to your word and how you're speaking to us, and the actions that we have don't always represent you in the way we should represent you, Lord. And I just pray that we're convicted this morning to represent you well in all that we have, say, and do. And Lord, we love you with all our heart, and we are so grateful for your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And we just love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.